This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Hope you're staying dry out there. Drive safely today, please, if you have to drive anywhere. I just got a text from Amy, Seth, that school is canceled in Deer Park.
Deer Park,
so she gets a snow day, yeah.
Friendswood, I don't know about all the friends. All I know is that the Friendswood area has some school closures.
The Friendswood area is basically like, you know, sometimes when you have, the drain is backed up on something in your house, your sink or your bathtub, and all the water collects in one area. That's Friendswood is basically the drain of Houston. And there's a bunch of hair underneath the city.
Oh, it's the little curvy part at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's the catch.
I just know that it's always on the news when it rains. It doesn't go well in Friendswood.
Right where before everything always eventually empties out.
That's right.
It's a tropical depression. Which is a bit of a onomatopoeia there, isn't it? No, what's the word? Oxymoron.
Oxymoron,
it's tropical, you usually
paradox.
Think happy.
Yeah.
Depression, now I don't think of tropical. Very rare do you think of like, oh yeah, tropical location where everybody's depressed.
Yeah.
They're usually
it's an ironic name.
Bobby McFerrin type stuff. Don't worry, be happy.
It's an ironic name, yeah. If it were onomatopoeia, it would be whatever sound that the rain makes when it hits the ground.
It's a pleasant sound right now.
I woke up
this morning expecting, honestly, like everybody in Houston right now, whenever you hear about any kind of rain event, you wake up expecting Harvey.
Yeah.
And you can't sleep at night because I hear rain on the roof all night long. Even though it's a gentle rain, you get that Harvey PTSD. I woke up seven times. I got excited. I'm going to go to bed early last night. I'm going to get a solid 7 hours of sleep. I'm going to wake up, be one of the most well-rested people ever. So I went to the bathroom like three times. I was just kind of agitated. My legs were all fidgety. I hadn't had a bunch of caffeine or anything, but I'm thinking, don't look at the clock. It's fine. It's probably like 3 a.m, but don't look at the clock. So this third or fourth time I get up to the bathroom, I'm like, all right, I'm going to look at the clock. 10:18 p.m.
You'd gotten up to take a leak three times. It wasn't even midnight yet.
I don't know what the hell was going on.
What did you drink?
It was nothing. It was a tropical depression blues. Uh-huh. That's what it was. I'm just
when there's water falling out of the sky, my bladder starts producing water.
It's this constant just having dreams about roof leaks. All this stuff. I go, I think I might need counseling.
Yeah, but seriously,
I spent so much time in my attic during Harvey because I had a few leaks. That I hit my head on roofing nails, like all these things that now whenever I get back to any kind of a rain event, I can't sleep.
It's kind of good, though, when you look at the clock and it says 10:18 p.m., right? You're like, oh, I still got like 5 hours of sleep I get to get in.
I know, because I figured I had like 19 more interruptions.
Urinations?
I was like a dog with a bladder issue. I'd get up, I'd pee for 3 seconds, and I'd go back to bed.
I kind of like that feeling. I think 1:55 was when I spontaneously woke up in the middle of the night last night. I'm like, that's still 2 hours. What do you set your alarm for?
4 a.m.
I probably should have asked you this before I started doing a morning show. 4 a.m. you said it for? Yeah. Jonesy, what do you say? 4 a.m.? Yeah, I go 3:55 because then I feel like I can get I can hit snooze one time and not feel guilty about it. I don't get nervous. If the first number is a 3 handle, then I don't get nervous hitting snooze. I'm like, it's still 3 something.
Right, right. You feel like you're really, you're getting that early, that early bird worm.
Yeah.
I used to have to have the last number be a prime number. Actually, the whole minutes needed to be a prime number.
That was Ivy League of you.
No. It was something I started doing in seventh grade, and I just broke myself of it a year ago.
That sounds like something A-Rod would do. You want to have an even-numbered lead because a two-run lead doesn't get you beat by a solo home run, and a four-run lead, a grand slam, only ties the game. A-Rod said that a couple of weeks ago, kids. Just know that if you are watching A-Rod's analysis on TV, that's what you're getting. And I hate it because I stuck up for that guy. But at any rate, did you watch the Astros at all last night?
I did. Well, I did until I went to bed early because I went to bed at 8:30 or so.
Yeah.
And then I caught up this morning, obviously.
Did you miss the back-to-back jacks of Bregman and Yordan Alvarez?
Yes, I missed a lot of it.
There were some nice jacks. Yordan Alvarez hit one into Torchy's Tacos out in center field. And the
there's 400. His it's you hear Bregman's, and Bregman's was 300 some feet, and you think, oh, that's nice, Bregman. And then you hear Jordan, and it's always 400 and a gazillion feet.
Yeah,
it was
Jordan's a real story. He's a real story topper, that guy.
It is. Like, hey, look at that! I had a 405 foot home run. And like, hold my cerveza.
See that guy in the upper deck above Torchy's Tacos? Watch me hit him.
I'm about to blow the back out of this joint.
I'm gonna get another orange chair out in center field, dedicated to me, Jordan Alvarez.
I'm doing the baseball equivalent of poking the cervix. Okay, dump that, Jonesy. Dump that.
We gotta dump that. Five.
Did you dump it successfully, Jonesy?
Yeah, good job. Right. Yeah, see the lights.
That's
blinking
too many
right
cervix
there.
References. That's this early in the morning.
I don't know. I feel like there's a sweet spot where you don't do that, and we're ahead of it right now.
Yeah.
You know,
thanks for dumping that, Jonesy.
The kids aren't even up yet, let alone in school. So, the big talk now, anytime Bregman does something now for the end of the year, will be, is Mike Trout being injured, is that going to be enough to get Alex Bregman an American League MVP award? Because it feels like it's down to those two guys. It feels like it's down to Trout, who's now injured, is the leader in the clubhouse, but he's not going to play anymore, and Alex Bregman, who is knocking on the doorstep of 40 home runs,
I think,
which is amazing for a wee little fella like he is.
They need to start doing it like they do in other sports, damn it, which is Trout's so good that there's a ridiculously high standard for if he should get MVP.
Right.
Just like with LeBron, for however many years where LeBron really realistically was the MVP of the mm-hmm. league, but it gets boring to keep giving it to him.
Yeah.
I would say likewise with baseball, they need to start doing that. All
with
right, Trout. Only if you have a year above and beyond what your normal supremacy is should you get the AL MVP.
Here's the thing, Seth, he hasn't won it since 2016. People forget that. I was looking last night at Trout's numbers. I was going to see, like, okay, what are he, because how many games is he going to wind up playing this year? Is 134 games. He's done for the season. And I looked and I'm like, well, he hasn't won one since 2016. He's been in the league since 2011. He's won two. So it's not like this is something where he's won five in a row or something like
he's
that.
He's banged up in 2017, wasn't he?
He was. That was the year he played 114 games. That was the year Altuve won it.
Yep.
Was in 2017. Last year, I think it was Mookie Betts who won it last year, and Trout was runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he's got a hell of a body of work. I mean, he leads the major leagues in on-base slugging, on-base plus slugging, and he's got 45 home runs. So
it's strange. The last 3 years, too, in a lot of ways, have been the best of his career, other than just not being healthy in 2017.
Yeah.
He's had an OPS over one for the last three seasons in a row. It's just absurd how consistent he is.
He's really, really good.
So, but it could be now Bregman and him neck and neck. And Bregman, you can extrapolate. If it was basketball, you'd go on a per-game basis, mm-hmm. and Trout would look a lot better in a few different areas. But because it's not basketball and because it's baseball, you look at the total numbers.
Yeah.
And because Bregman's been healthier, he's compiled more stats in a bunch of areas. And health matters, damn it.
Yeah, health matters, and he's on a team that's going to wind up, in all likelihood, with the best record in baseball as well.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be something that gets sprinkled into the mix. So we'll see what happens with that.
Plus, here's the other thing. Trout, he's the richest kid, and you should always want to stick it to the richest kid.
He's literally the richest kid.
Yeah, he's already the richest kid. You can't just keep giving the rich kid the awards at school.
Bregman's
and
only making $16 million a year for the next 6 years.
He's a relative pauper.
Right, because he signed a long-term deal that bought out his arbitration years.
Yeah.
It's not like Trout, who's getting, you just signed a $40 million a year deal.
That is important.
Bregman, how does Bregman get by on that?
He got that extension, but it was more than anything. The Astros might not end up paying much different than they would have anyway because of all the arbitration years that Bregman would have gotten paid big time in arbitration.
They would have. The main thing they get out of it is they actually bought out his first 2 years of what would have been post free agency as well. So the main thing is they're getting to keep him around for 6 years through his prime. So that's baseball. Shifting gears. The Texans swapped out their punters yesterday. I feel like there's a clause in Bill O'Brien's contract now that he is both Billy O, the coach, and William O'Brien Esquire, general manager,
mm-hmm.
that he's contractually obligated to cut at least one player each week.
You're going to shuffle stuff around as much as we can.
Last week it was Aaron Colvin.
Yep.
This week he swaps out Trevor Daniel for Brian Anger. Did you think that Trevor Daniel deserved to be cut? I hadn't really... He was inconsistent for sure the first couple weeks.
I think the inconsistency, and you pair it with some of the odd punts here and there from last year, I would say that Brad Seeley knows what he's doing. And I think Brad Seeley, did you get the impression that Brad Seeley, the special teams coordinator, has a lot of, I don't want to say authority, but...
Stroke.
Yeah, O'Brien.
Yes.
Brad Seeley is the first guy to bring respectable special teams to the Texans in damn near...
Ever?
Almost a decade.
Yeah.
No, they had respectable special teams under Joe Marciano for a while. It's just
until they didn't.
Yeah. Right. So it's been a decade since they really had respectable special teams.
Yeah. So they swap out punt. Brian Anger is back. They brought in Marquette King to work him out. That would have been more fun
for the second time.
Yeah.
So Marquette King, remember, is a player who's despised by many of his teammates, both in Oakland and. Had incidents in Denver.
He was in Denver for like a cup of coffee.
He's the exact opposite. He's almost like a Jalen Ramsey of the punting world, except you're not allowed to be a Jalen Ramsey if you're a punter.
At all.
You don't want to be a distraction. Jalen Ramsey gets away with stuff because, for one, he's a really, really good corner. And two, the position he's good at is one that people actually care about.
Yeah, you don't want to be the position.
You can't be the loud, obnoxious punter. It's weird that the Texans, who seem to value culture above all else, keep bringing Marquette King in for workouts.
I feel like we'll ask McClain about this when he comes in. This is my prediction on what McClain's answer is going to be. Nope, that's somebody Brad Seeley knows from when he was at Oakland. He's just doing him a favor, getting him some buzz, getting his name out there. That's what John said the first time they came in and they brought him in for a workout. Was they're just doing him a solid to remind everybody that, hey, Marquette King still exists.
Yeah.
I'm still out here.
I don't have an issue at all. This is different than a place kicker. Place kickers, I always worry about messing with their brains. And then also, when a kicker comes in, you have to worry about the timing with the holder and the snapper and all that stuff. With a punter, it's a damn punter. There's little nuances from place to place, but you catch the snap, you punt the ball, you do what they ask you to. We've been clamoring for accountability for so many years that I'm not going to sit here and wring my hands or rub my hands. What's the word I'm looking for?
You're wringing your hands.
Wringing
your hands. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wring my hands over swapping out a punter. And it's not
wringing
like
your hands out of worry.
Yeah, it's not like I was so attached to Trevor Daniel. I've just gotten out of being certain that I'm not supposed to be pronouncing an S at the end of his name.
We need to start doing something on Mondays where we power rank the top five Texans we think could get fired this week.
Ooh.
That could be a new thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say the early leaders in the clubhouse for next week could be Chantrell Henderson, who lost his job to Roderick Johnson.
There are other offensive tackles maybe on the street right now or available for trade that you could bring in.
I feel like one of the running backs, either Buddy Howell or Tywan Jones, one of the running backs that doesn't carry the football at all on the team. Tywan Jones was inactive this past week. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could be on the short list.
Running backs especially. So running backs have become like punters where they're almost interchangeable.
Yeah.
People just look at him around like, I'll just pluck one off a tree at some point and then throw him in here if
we
need to.
Carlos Hyde is not doing anything to dissuade that line of thinking.
Carlos Hyde might be on the hot seat by week 13.
You never know.
Bill O'Brien's
week
playing.
Week 4.
He's just playing poker here.
That's it.
He's just give me a, let's shuffle the deck and spit it, see what spits out.
That's it, man. That's it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.